All right, so for the past several weeks, we have been going verse by verse through the book of Philippians, and we've really been examining this theme of joy that's found throughout Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And last week, as we gathered at our all-church gathering there at the church building, we talked about the fact that Paul urges the church, specifically in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that he urges the church to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. He says to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now that means that as followers of Jesus, we are to live our lives in such a way that is consistent with what it is that we say that we believe and who it is that we claim to follow and trust. So I shared an example last Sunday as we talked about this, of my dad getting me a job when I was 19 years old. When I was 19 years old, my dad got me a job at the company that he had worked for many years. And the night before I was to start work at this new job, my dad comes into my room and he says these words to me. He says, "Tommy, when you start work tomorrow, I want you to remember that you are my son and you represent my name to the company. So represent it well." My dad was saying, represent my name well. In the same way, if you and I say that we belong to Jesus, we represent his name to the world around us. And so how we live our lives, the things that we say, how we act, our attitudes, the way that we treat others reflect on the one that we say that we represent. Brendan Manning, who was a Franciscan priest turned author and evangelist, he once said this. He said, "The single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." So let's be honest, right out of the gate, there are so many people, especially here in the Bible Belt, there are so many people who claim to belong to Jesus. They claim to be Christians. But honestly, they look absolutely nothing like him. There are so many people whose lives don't match up with what it is that they say they believe. But here Paul's saying that the way that we live our lives, again, the way that we act, the things that we say, our attitude, the way that we treat others, our lives are to be an example of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Our lives are to be an example of the love of Jesus to those around us. Now, we recently in our house, we had a toilet that wasn't working properly. And so I was talking to Joe Hansen, and Joe Hansen is one of our pastors here at Grace City Church. And I was talking to him about it. He used to do plumbing work for a living. And so I was asking him about it. And he said that I could easily replace all of the parts inside of the toilet. He then went on to explain what to do. Now, listen, while I'm sure there are many people in our church that would have known exactly what Joe was talking about, I'm not one of them. I had no clue what he was talking about. So I went home and I looked up a video on YouTube and it showed me all of the parts and the tools that I would need to fix the toilet. And then it gave me a step-by-step tutorial on how to replace all the parts inside of the toilet. You could seriously learn how to do anything on YouTube. I've saved so much money by learning how to fix things by watching videos on YouTube. And so anyway, I went to Home Depot, I purchased all of the parts, I got the tools together that I needed, and I was able to replace all of the inside parts of this broken toilet. Now I say all of that to tell you that it's not enough just to tell me how to do something. I need a real life example. And I want you to hear me. This is no knock on Joe Hansen, because I am 100% confident that Joe would have come over and showed me how to do this, if not have done it himself. And so that is no knock on Joe. The point is, it's one thing to hear a sermon, and it's one thing to hear commands on how we are to live our lives in a certain way. And it's another thing altogether to see a living example of it. And so in Philippians chapter 2, Paul starts off by showing us what it looks like to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, to live as an example of the love of Jesus to the world around us. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, this is what Paul says we are to do. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." He then points to the love and mercy of Jesus. He uses Jesus as the example. He uses the fact that Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sins through his sacrifice on the cross. He points to his self-sacrifice. He points to his humility. He points to the fact that Jesus took on the form of a servant. This, church, is the example of how we are to live our lives. Now, if you're anything like me, you're probably hearing this and you're agreeing with me. You're thinking, you're absolutely right, Tommy. The world needs more people who consider others as more important than themselves, right? This world is full of selfish and entitled people. You may be thinking, you're right. The world needs more kindness and love and grace and mercy. The world needs more selflessness, more humility, more examples of service to others. So you may be watching this and agreeing with all of that, but the example that I give you, you may be thinking, but that's Jesus. He's the sinless, spotless, perfect Son of God. Well, okay, if it's hard to follow Jesus's example, well, then I could point to the example of Paul himself, who was so devoted to representing Jesus well that he was literally writing this letter, the book of Philippians, to the church at Philippi from a prison cell for sharing the gospel, the good news of the love and grace of Jesus with others, right? And so I would hold him up as an example. So then follow the example of Paul. And if you're anything like you or like me, you're thinking, well, yeah, but that's the Apostle Paul, right? Didn't he travel the known world at the time, just sharing Jesus with everyone that he met? Wasn't he willing to be beaten and abused and imprisoned and tortured and ultimately die for the cause of Christ? Isn't this the Apostle Paul that wrote the majority of the New Testament? Yes. And so what I want us to do really quickly this morning is to pick up where we left off in Philippians chapter 2. And I want us to read about some other examples of what it looks like to live our lives representing Jesus well. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, this is what Paul writes. Again, from a prison cell, Paul writes, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon." So even while he's in prison for sharing Jesus with others, the Apostle Paul is wanting to encourage the church at Philippi. That's amazing, isn't it? He is in a place where he needs encouragement, right? He's in a place where he is suffering, and yet he's spending his time encouraging others. And so he's sending this letter as an encouragement to Philippi, and then he talks about the best way to encourage them is by sending them Timothy. Now, Timothy had been with Paul for about a decade now. He'd been with Paul for about 10 years. Paul actually led Timothy to Christ when he was just a teenager. And so he had been traveling with Paul and sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, all over the known world at that time for about 10 years. And so that would place Timothy at this point in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, right? He has been sharing life with Paul. He's been learning from Paul's example. And so now Paul is wanting to send Timothy to the church at Philippi because he thinks that Timothy will represent him well as represent Jesus well. And so since Paul can't go to Philippi himself, he wants to send Timothy. Now, the primary reason that he knew that Timothy would be an encouragement to the church at Philippi is because Timothy, over the years, had proven that he genuinely cared for others. He genuinely cared for others. Now listen, let's be honest. We live in a world of self-help, self-care, and self-love, right? A generation that can be loosely defined by the term selfie, can it not, right? A culture that is defined by cries of my freedoms, my rights, my opinion. Even what most deem as love in this world and care for others seems to be transactional at best. In other words, what love looks like in this selfie world is if you scratch my back, I will scratch yours. In other words, my love is motivated by what you can do for me and how you reciprocate the care that I show for you. Now listen to me. This is not how Jesus displayed love. This is far from how Jesus displayed love. Did you know that the Bible says that God is love? God is love. He is the very definition of love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we're told this. It says, this is how we know what love is. In other words, this is the example of love. You want to know what love is? This is what it's saying it is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You want a tangible example of love here on this earth? Look no further than Jesus and how he laid down his life for us. Now, throughout this series, we've been talking about the fact that joy is evidence of God's presence in our lives. So when we place our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are told that our lives, our bodies, become a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit indwells within us, right? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, we are told that the evidence, the fruit of that Spirit, is joy, right? But also, listen, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, love is also evidence of God's presence in our lives. It's also a fruit or evidence of God's Spirit in our lives. And God defines love. Remember, God is love, and he gave us an example of what love looks like tangibly by sending his son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. And so God defines love by selflessness, by sacrifice, by the laying down of one's life, by laying yourself down. Again, if we look back at Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, Paul says this about Timothy. He says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That describes our world, does it not? Everyone looking out for their own interests. Paul said earlier in Philippians chapter 2, as we read just earlier, that we are to consider others as more valuable or more important than ourselves. So listen to me, church. If you want to do what really matters to Jesus, if you want to live a life that's pleasing to God and do what really matters to Jesus, genuinely care for others. Place the needs of others above your own needs. When we serve our own interests first, it's selfish. But to seek to care for others first, listen to me, is to serve the interests of Jesus himself. And that is what defined Timothy's life. But not only Timothy, right? He mentions someone else. Philippians chapter 2, picking up in verse 25. He says he wants to send Timothy, who genuinely cares for others. And he says this, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give to me. Now, he's not knocking the church saying that you didn't give me the help that I needed. I want you to notice right here that Epaphroditus was one of their own. He was from Philippi. He was a part of the church body there in Philippi. He was someone that the church at Philippi sent to Paul to minister to Paul's needs while he was in prison. Now, Epaphroditus is a man who traveled over 700 miles from Philippi to Rome to serve Paul. Now, 700 miles, that's a lot of miles by today's standards, right? In a car, it would take you several hours to travel 700 miles. And of course, they didn't have any of those things during this time. And so Epaphroditus, he makes this long and treacherous journey just to serve someone in their time of need, just to serve Paul as he was suffering in his time of need. Not only that, but we read in the text that at some point in his journey or while he was with Paul, he became extremely ill and it almost cost him his life. He almost died. And even as he was deathly ill, I don't want you to miss this, even as he was deathly ill, he was concerned primarily and distressed primarily about his church community and how they would have been worried about him to be so sick. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am sick, I can become one of the most selfish people on the planet, right? I know during those times, I don't have the strength or even the desire, really, to care for others. But Epaphroditus, while he was suffering, he showed genuine care for how others were worried about him during his illness. Again, selfless, self-sacrificing, others-focused. Are you sensing a theme here? At this point, you may be thinking, as I have been thinking, yeah, but Tommy, I get it. Okay, Jesus is the example. Paul is the example. Timothy is the example. And even Epaphroditus is the example. But where are the examples of that kind of love and concern and care for others today? You know, there are so many churches in our culture that are known for so many things. There are so many churches in our culture that are known for their buildings and the environments they create. There are so many churches that are known for their great communicators. There's so many churches today that are known for their music and their kids' spaces and the books that they write and the programs that they put on and the events that they hold. But how many churches today in our culture are truly known for their genuine love, care, and concern for others? We are to be an example of this church. The reason why reading about guys like Timothy and Epaphroditus is so important is because it proves that God desires to use ordinary individuals to be examples of his extraordinary love, grace, mercy, and kindness to the world around us. Epaphroditus was average at best. And if you read about Timothy's upbringing, he was average at best. But God desires to use ordinary individuals to be examples of his love, care, kindness, grace, and mercy to the world around us. We are to represent his name well. Listen to me. God's love should be evident in this world because of the church, not in spite of it. I want to say that again. God's love should be evident in this world because of the church, not in spite of it. This is how we shine like stars in the sky, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. This is how we stand out in a world of selfishness. It starts with us selflessly laying down our lives and truly considering the needs of others as more important than our own, to the glory of God through Jesus. Listen, church, it's seeking to be an encouragement to others and to serve others in every single facet of our lives. It's seeking to serve and to be an encouragement in the home, with our spouses, with our children. It's seeking to serve and be an encouragement at our workplaces, with our coworkers and with our bosses. It's seeking to be an encouragement and to serve in our community, in grocery stores, at the ball field, right, at restaurants, anywhere really. Now, some of you, you may be thinking, but Tommy, some people just don't deserve it. Neither did you. But Jesus died on your behalf anyway. So listen to me, church. You can make, I'm talking to you individually and collectively, you can make a lasting impact on this world when you truly realize that God has placed each of you in the places in which you find yourself, in the situations in which you find yourself every single day, to bear witness to His Son, Jesus, to represent His name well. Church, we are to be the example that the world needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, God, if we're just being honest and we look at the world around us, it's just, for all the good that we find so many broken, messed up, sinful, and dark things. This world is a broken mess. And God, for generation upon generation, we've been trying to fix it ourselves apart from You. But the truth is, we need a Savior. God, we need someone to come in to save us from all of the brokenness and all of the darkness. And so right now, God, we thank You, God, that You made a way where there was no way. God, that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to save us from sin and darkness and brokenness. God, I pray that if there is anyone watching right now that has yet to place their faith and trust in Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. Today would be the day that they trust His finished work on the cross, and that You lead them into glorious resurrection, to new life, to eternal life. God, I pray for the church, because we can read about Paul all day long. We could read about Timothy. We can read about Epaphroditus. We can even read those things to other people. But what's needed desperately in this world are examples, true examples of Your love, grace, mercy, and kindness. God, not just us reading about the examples of those things, but being the examples of those things. God, I'm convinced that the world wants to believe, but they need to see it. So God, I pray that as Your followers, we would represent Your name well here on this earth. God, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us so that in everything that we say and everything that we do, we would bear witness, accurate witness and representation of Your Son, Jesus. God, that we, both as individuals and collectively as a church, that we would be the example of Jesus to this world around us. God, help us to be the people that You've called us to be. And may we glorify you and honor you in all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, hey, church, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I want to thank you for tuning in again this morning and joining us. I'm praying for you. I love you. I can't wait to be with you again. God bless.